I'm Gab, he's Jules. It's an overcast Thursday morning in West London. We have a full show for you, but I'll tell you what, Jules, if it's overcast here, it's storming over the City of Light, over Paris. We'll be getting to that. That is obviously a really, really big story. We'll have other stuff for you as well, because Harry Kane staying at Tottenham.
Yes.
Pep Guardiola saying that, hey, maybe he leaves in 2023 when his contract's up. That's just in 2 years from now. So tons to get into. We got Champions League qualifiers. We got the Premier League and other leagues saying that they're not going to release players for internationals, which I think is a huge story.
More transfers.
Cristiano, we haven't mentioned Cristiano, of course, Cristiano. But we got to start with this story, because, and I got to lay this out, I got a lot of reaction on social and whatever. I think this is undeniable. When we do this job, we can only report what we're told.
Yeah.
Every time I asked you, Mbappe, why doesn't he sign the contract? You always said, well, it's there in front of him. He's going to sign it. He's not going, whatever. First of all, what do we read into this? Is he being clever and saying, I'm not going to sign the contract because I'm in no rush. I know that I can wait until the last possible day to do it. Or is he not signing the contract? Maybe even encouraging this bid from Real Madrid just to keep his options open.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. And to start with, I've got nothing against Real Madrid at all. And their fans, their president, their owner, like nothing at all. It's a great club. He wants to play there one day. I've always said it. He will, whether it's this summer, whether it's next year, in 5 years' time, I don't know. He will. The contract has been there. He's even had more discussion not too long ago about salaries and etc. And the club was really hoping that he would, at some point, eventually, maybe sign that deal.
How long is this contract? Because I think this is an important point, right? I'm trying to put myself in Mbappe's head. So I want to play for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
If PSG come to me and it's like a 5-year deal,
which was the first offer,
I know that, hey, could PSG come to me with a 2-year deal, a 3-year deal, with some sort of prearranged release that is only valid for Real Madrid, something like that. Is that in the offing? Is that a possibility?
That's the case now. But at the beginning, and if you're PSG, you go for it. You offer the 5 years, right. So you know that you're going to keep it for 3 of those 5 maybe, or something like that.
And you'll get a transfer fee.
Yeah, and then you go. Clearly, that was obviously an issue because if you're Kylian Mbappe and you sign a 5-year deal, and we've seen it with Harry Kane, who signed a 6-year deal when he was 25, in a way, you're blocking your future if you want.
Right.
And that's a problem for them. Now the discussion could well go towards a very small extension where at least you know that he will leave, but not on a free. And in a way, you're still in control of the situation.
Okay, so we're talking about potentially a 1 or 2 year extension with a release clause, maybe even a release clause tailor-made for Real Madrid.
I don't believe a release clause has been discussed.
So even if it's a 1-year deal, aren't you just pushing this down the road?
Yeah, but you still get something in. Well, so you
still have to negotiate it.
Yeah. And next summer, if he wants to go, then he will have 1 year left in his corner. But this time you say, okay, now we let you go.
Here's my issue with this. I see no reason why Kylian Mbappe should sign this contract.
And he will not. I can tell you that he will not extend that.
He's not going to extend. No. So it means he becomes a free agent.
Yeah.
So if he becomes a free agent on June 30th, 2022, from January 1st, 2022, which is what, 120 days away, give
Five
or take?
Months.
He can go and he can sign a binding contract with Real Madrid as a free agent.
Yep.
And that $160 million that Real Madrid bid and which was turned down, he can get a big chunk of that $160 million in addition to whatever he's going to earn. And Real Madrid, and he'll have the assurance that money, because Florentino will spend that money on bringing in better players around him. We've talked in the past of from Pogba to Camavinga to Rudiger to all the guys, who maybe even Haaland at $70 million. So all these guys are free agents, and obviously Haaland a de facto a free agent. So why on earth, if you're Florentino, would you bid 160 million euros now? Unless maybe you know that Paris Saint-Germain are going to turn it down. And maybe you're laying down a marker for other clubs saying, we got this in the bag. I'm forcing Leo to come out, as he did.
Yeah.
And yeah, he can criticize us, whatever. He can criticize and say, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
In this window. And at that point, I am so intertwined. I'm so tightly bound that I almost have a guarantee that this isn't he's not going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. So I think you knew that already. If you're Florentino or Madrid, you knew that it was very likely that he would choose Real Madrid in a year time when a free agent anyway. But now you flexed your muscles. It's a demonstration of power. Of course it is. I'm not even sure if they've got that money, but that's not the point, because they knew it was going to be turned down. 160, there was nowhere PSG, who, by the way, still have to pay 35 million euros to Monaco. They were never going to accept that. So you put that offer in. You show, you know, how bossy you are and how dominant and powerful you are by putting that money on a player that only has a year left on his contract. You know it's going to be turned down, but you, like you said, it's a marker. It's also your strategy. This is Florentino and Real Madrid's strategy. It's always been the case with Luka Modric, with Gareth Bale, with other players.
David Beckham.
The thing is, they were not so close to the end of their contract with their right. with their club. So you had to even go further and stronger. With Kylian, you do that. PSG said no. He might well stay. He would be happy to stay in Paris for just one more year and then go on a free to Real Madrid. And if you're Real Madrid, you say, okay, we tried. They said no. We could not have gone higher than 160 because you're free in a year time.
So you're making a bid that you know is going to be turned down.
Yeah.
But it's okay because it brings you closer to your ultimate goal, which is getting Kylian.
Exactly. And now you know he's going to come. Plus, everybody's talking of that big offer from Real Madrid, and you've won. I think PSG could still win if he stays, and Kylian will win as well because he will go on a free with huge commissions all around in a year.
A few minutes ago, you said something, which is one of the things I'm going to take issue with. You said, well, if it turns out like this, Real Madrid make their bid, it gets turned down, and Mbappe plays another year, it's a win-win, and then goes to Real Madrid. Everybody wins. Real Madrid win because they get Mbappe on a free in a year's time.
Yeah.
Mbappe wins, and I agree with you there. Mbappe wins hands down because he gets to move to Real Madrid in a year's time. And they have an extra 160 million euros to spend on him and on talent around him. I'm not sure how Paris Saint-Germain wins in this scenario.
Why?
Because
you get to keep Messi, Neymar, Mbappe for one season.
For one season, and then you lose an asset that you paid 180 odd million for, you lose him for nothing, and you have the brightest young player in French football saying Paris Saint-Germain.
But you're going to lose him anyway. So why not? It's 220 million. Okay. So this is purely the money because you weaken your side. And I'm not even sure if you can really replace him. Okay, maybe you can try for, let's say, very hypothetically, Lewandowski or Haaland or Pogba or Camavinga. Okay, but I'm not sure really you would replace Kylian. So this is either you choose the money and to the detriment of the level of your team and the football ability of your team, or you choose the football ability of your team and you say no to the money and you keep him and have that front three of Messi, Neymar and Mbappe for one season and hoping, betting that it would be a good season. So either I can see your point, and people will say, okay, I'll choose the money. Or people will say, okay, I'll choose the football. But you can't have both. So it's one or the other.
This is where I struggle with your point. And again, we should always point out there's stuff going on behind the scenes, relationships, Leonardo, Pochettino, Florentino, stuff that we don't know about. And of course, Mbappe's personal preference. But if you do choose the money now, there's a couple things that come into it. I don't buy your argument that you've weakened the team significantly, because you know what? Yeah, okay, so you lose Mbappe, fine.
You don't think that weakens the team?
Well, last season, right?
Yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain came within a whisker of making the Champions League final.
Yeah.
The year before that, they were in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Since then, they've added, okay, Donnarumma, who at this stage might never play, but they've added Wijnaldum, right? They've added Sergio Ramos, for what it's worth. They've added somebody named Lionel Messi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in the equation, I'm sorry, but the idea that Paris Saint-Germain would come in weaker if Mbappe leaves, they're weaker compared to the hypothetical Panini team we drew up now, which hasn't actually played yet.
Yeah, but that's,
but relative
that's
to
the
team from last season.
But it doesn't matter from what happened last season. The point is you can have either a team with Mbappe this season and Messi and Donnarumma and Wijnaldum and Ramos, or a team without Mbappe, which is weaker than the one with Mbappe. Well,
compared to this hypothetical team. But here's the flip side to it. You have a problem because at some point financial fair play in some format will return, whether luxury tax or whatever. You already have an issue that as a club, you've already been punished twice for violating financial fair play. In fact, I think Paris Saint-Germain are the only club that's been punished twice. And you've had to live by it, right? There's a reason that we have all these no names, you know, rounding out the 18.
Yeah.
If you turn down 160 million, you're sending a message that, ooh, we know something you don't about financial fair play as well. And I'm wondering if that isn't also part of the PR move in this. Because how much does Mbappe make right now?
It's 22 million gross a year.
Okay. So you're talking about saving yourself. You're talking about kind of like a net, kind of a 182
million. Plus the amortization of the transfer from Monaco.
Okay. But that's nearly gone, right?
Yeah,
because it's
gone.
5 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a huge swing. It's the kind of swing that would allow you to say, oh, all you guys say mean things about me and that nice Nasser because he's the head of the ECA and he's on the UEFA Executive Committee. Look, FFP is a reality for all of us. These guys offer stupid money. And so you net out. And you make all those issues
go away
at least for a while.
Yeah, yeah. No, if you take that money, if you take the 220 million, if Real Madrid come back with that offer, because this is the price. 220, if they don't offer that, it's not going to go. PSG will not allow the sale. That's what they're saying.
Okay, I appreciate
so
that.
So if Real Madrid put that money on the table, they take it. They will take it. But the point still says that if he doesn't, and he would not extend. So you would keep him for a year, but next year when financial fair play will start coming back, you won't have him on your books anymore. So you would save the wages that he's on now and that you were ready to offer 25 million net a year for the next 5 years. That's the first offer. That's not in the books anymore. Yeah. Plus everything that, in terms of revenue, they're hoping that Messi's arrival, even if Kylian leaves or doesn't, it will boost the finances of the club. So they really don't see FFP as a problem if they don't allow him to go to Real Madrid.
This is my old bugbear with this, and I'll say it again. You've heard me say this before. We need transparency in football. If I would make a rule and say all your accounts have to be public, every wage, every salary, every sponsorship deal, and let the fans and the media look at them.
Yeah, I'm with you.
This is how you source oversight. This is how you remove doubts over cheating. This is how you avoid irresponsible behavior. Yes, Bartomeu, I'm talking about you. This would solve so many problems. Yeah. And the argument that always comes back is, oh, but look, you know, Ford Motor Company doesn't do it. Apple doesn't do it. Why should we? Well, you know what? People aren't fans of Ford Motor Company. It doesn't have the same loyalty. Ford Motor Company do not compete when they play games every week on a level playing field. I don't know why I keep mentioning Ford. Maybe some of
you don't
Toyota.
Ford.
Okay, whatever you want, right? It's such a stupid analogy. And the reality is, the people who run football, I'm talking about the people who own clubs, don't want this because they don't want people questioning their decisions in virtually all cases. And in some cases, they don't want it because they're stealing.
Yeah, no,
right?
You're right.
Stealing, theft. Yeah. Can you say that in clear? Yes. Okay. That's the reality of it. Okay. Sorry.
No.
Rant over.
But yesterday I tweeted and I think the words are so appropriate. The love triangle between PSG, Mbappé and Real Madrid. Because really is. And it might become a hate triangle. And I would not be surprised if it did. But Kylian wants Real Madrid, of course, he's always wanted to.
Yeah, for it to be a triangle, don't all the sides have to love each other? Do Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid?
Listen to me. Okay. But PSG and Real Madrid had really good history together.
Yeah, Leo was very nice about Real Madrid.
No. Okay, yesterday he had to raise his voice and think and show that he's the boss. And by the way, Leonardo's saying, oh, they were rude to us because they contacted the player behind our back. Right. Then Leo, don't do to others what you don't want people to do to you, right? Because that's also what you do, what everybody does. Anyway, Real Madrid and PSG I think Florentino and Nasser, certainly before the Super League, they were really good friends. They were close. There were two clubs that were close. I think Kylian, as much as he loves Real Madrid and has always wanted to play there, also loves PSG. It's his hometown. That's why he would be happy to stay and play with Messi and Neymar before going to Real Madrid. Or he would be happy to go to Real Madrid now if PSG find an agreement and were happy with the money. So which I find fascinating, this love triangle. And also, it could be the hate triangle, because they can end up hating each other, maybe for, you know, the clash, as we saw Leonardo talking about Florentino Perez and the tactics of Real Madrid. Mbappe saying, okay, I'm happy to stay, but that was a lot of money that you could have accepted. Now Leonardo saying, well, you know, we built this, even this transfer window around Kylian. We made all of this for him, and now he would be happy to go, to leave. So I really find it fascinating, because there's also a point that it doesn't make any sense for anyone. Why would Real Madrid would be ready if they weren't really ready?
We're going to get to that in a minute, but I want to throw out something else, which has been always bugging me and always mysterious to me about Qatar's involvement with Paris Saint-Germain. So we've talked about they get involved because it's soft power, because it improves the country's image. It's a tiny, tiny country. That's also why they bid for sporting events. Obviously, in some ways, it improves them. In other ways, it hurts them, because people start to ask questions about kafala and all this other stuff. Personally, I think in the long term, it has a positive effect, because the more you shine a light on something, and they have passed labor reforms in Qatar, probably not as much as they should or could, but whatever. But it's certainly better than if nobody was looking at them when it was just a bunch of rich dudes exploiting people, right?
Yeah.
That said, Jules, the World Cup takes place in November and December 2022. It's not that far away. I think it's legitimate to ask, is at that point, does Qatar move out to chucking money at other things? Things that might actually make real money, or at least be sustainable. There's no question Paris Saint-Germain is worth more today than what Qatar bought them for.
Yeah, yeah.
Equally, there's no question that it's also because they chucked a whole bunch of money at it and made a whole bunch of losses along the way. In terms, I'm talking about the Qataris here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? If at that point they say, oh, let's find a seller, let's pull the plug, let's get out. There's a school of thought that says maybe that is why we're being so short-termist here.
Maybe. I mean, they've always said that they're here for a longer term than just 2022. They've also said that they would never open the door for Kylian Mbappé to leave, and they have. So you never know.
Haven't opened the door. They haven't.
Well,
they've done the opposite.
Well,
there's no kafala system, as far as I know, in Paris, right?
No.
So they can't take Kylian's passport away and keep him there the way they might with stadium workers, right?
No, I could resist. No, for sure. But maybe after 2022 they say, this is it, we're done with sports, football, handball, whatever, you know, they're involved in. I still think they will be there for a bit longer, but maybe not too long.
All right. On the Real Madrid front, I tweeted this out. I said it before. Obviously, if you're sure that you're going to get him, and every indication, because I don't think I'm lifting any lid on secrets here, and Leo said so as well. When a team bids 160 million, when he makes almost any bid for a player, it's because, drum roll, they've already spoken to the player's agent, and they've already agreed a fee, or they've already agreed wages and contract terms and whatever. Might be some details here and there, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's fair to say that they already have an agreement with Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
Now, until it's signed and deposited, whatever, it's not valid. But they only need an agreement until January 1st. It's 4 months away.
Yeah.
We're very, very close. So I thought the logical thing is, don't spend this money now. Give the money to, as we've said.
Yeah.
And I'm revising that. Maybe this is the masterstroke we talked about. Maybe this is Florentino saying, let me go and do this. Makes Real Madrid look good. I know they're going to turn us down, but I don't care. I'm going to save myself 160 million. The new Madrid, what it might look like. We know, I assume Isco's going, even if he has a tremendous season. Yeah. They're not going to keep him around. Marcelo's done, and obviously Bale's done.
Yeah. Modric, potentially.
Yeah. Mbappe plays with Benzema for 1 year, and Hazard. I mean, you need, or maybe Mbappe, Benzema, Vinicius. That's pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
And then you chuck Haaland in there too.
Pogba on a free.
Camavinga
on a free. Rudiger on a free. We've mentioned that before. The plan is good, but
Rudiger, funnily enough, does not excite me as much as these other guys, given his age.
No, of course, but it doesn't matter. You need defenders at point. You know, you can't just go on the attack. But I mean, if you've got some money available there, right? Why would you not go and sign, I don't know, a Jules Koundé, for example, for 70 million euros to make your defense stronger? Because right now, this is, and we saw it against Levante, this is where maybe you might have issues this season, is defensively.
Right.
Because even without Kylian, you're still very good going forwards. But defensively, why don't you do that and keep the rest of the money? If you really have those 160 or 200 million that it will end up costing you, and you keep the rest, and you know he's coming in a year's time, and you know maybe Haaland as well, and then you still have a lot of money to bring in the likes of Pogba or Rudiger or, you know, Goretzka, whoever else you want on a free or not, you want to bring in. I just think that if you go and spend 220 million now on Kylian Mbappe, is that going to impact you next summer when you... This is not enough for your team right now. This is still very much a squad in transition, where I'm just wondering if it's really worth spending all that money on him now instead of keeping that money, getting him on a free next year and using that money to make your squad even better than that. Because
we've said that. We're in agreement on this point, right? And so that's why I wonder. I think Florentino understands that too.
But they're very optimistic now in Madrid. They said that he's going to be there this summer. He's going to sign between now and Tuesday. That he's not going to travel to Reims on Sunday. He's not going to play that game. And they're going to make the deal now.
That's what I would find extraordinary.
That would be incredible, I think.
I don't think 220 million really makes any sense whatsoever. And in fact, I don't think Mbappe's people are holding him to ransom. Like,
No, definitely not.
After exposing myself in this way, I need to go now, otherwise
I said to you, they would be happy for him to stay 1 year, go on a free in a year time, and have this season with Neymar, Achraf Hakimi, who's his new best friend, and Messi.
So if that's the case, I don't know, to me this just lends more credence to my original theory that Florentino did this for mediatic reasons. I got him in a year's time, I get people excited, I flex my muscle, everybody knows he's going to come here.
Yeah, maybe.
I lock him up a little bit further because I know that it would be stupid for me to spend 160 million now. I just want to say one other thing about Real Madrid's financial situation. And you can turn this around, by the way, and hammer him over the head over the Super League, which I'm happy to do and I've done before. But Real Madrid's using the widest possible definition of debt. And by the way,
This
is me talking. I'm channeling my inner Swiss ramble because he's one of the best financial vloggers out there. And this is where you get. Real Madrid's debt is in the order of 700 to 800 million, which sounds enormous, but then you realize, I think it's 525 million of that is for the new stadium. They actually managed to reduce their financial debt in the last year, even though this year they project losses of between 70 and 90 million. Long and short of it is, Real Madrid are not in a situation that's anywhere like Barcelona's. Yeah. However, that doesn't mean that they have cash. We've talked before the difference between losses and cash. Cash is what you need to meet payroll at the end of the month and to throw around. Can they get cash? Sure. They can get another credit line and get cash. And by the way, I'm not saying they're taking on more debt necessarily because the money will come in, but it's about having the money on hand right now. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever financially. I think if you do this now, you will take a hit down the road. And I think Florentino is also mindful of that. They're in a better position because, except for, you know, when they signed Hazard, they haven't really, I mean, you could argue the last superstar they bought, other than Hazard, is Toni Kroos. I think that was in 2014.
Yeah, and Bale 2013, Modric 2012, Kroos 2014.
I mean, Courtois has obviously been, to me, he's a superstar. He'll always be in my heart. But, you know, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, of course.
For a team that size, the last 7 years, right? But what they have done is spend a ton in wages, and that's going to correct itself.
And so, they sold Varane, and they sold Odegaard, and they sold a few couple more. So, you know, some money has come in as well this summer.
And they got good money for those guys.
Yeah.
So, I think from their perspective, again, sure, you can do it now. When we talk about, do they have the money? Do they not? It's not that simple.
No.
Right? If you're Real Madrid, you can always get a loan and you can have the money.
Yeah.
Because you also have receivables down the road that are going to come in. But that said, we're all in agreement. It makes a lot more sense next season, especially because this season, Barca and Atletico Madrid are down. So you've got a chance to compete in the Liga. You've got a chance to, without great expense, even evaluate people like Asensio, I assume are going to be fit, are going to get more playing time. People like Vinicius, you're going to decide you want to commit to Vinicius or whatever. Rodrigo's going to get playing time. Valverde is going to get playing time. You can evaluate all these things this year and still have a very good chance, I think, of winning La Liga.
I'm with you.
Champions League, you're always going to compete anyway. And then next year, you know, you have Galacticos 3.0.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, watch this space. There's a lot more to come. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Mbappe. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Harry Kane is staying at Tottenham Hotspur. Who'd have thunk that? Jules, are you surprised?
Yes and no, Gab. Yes, because he really wanted to go and City really wanted him. And we thought that it was going to be one of those sagas, but that would end up finish well for him and that he would get the move that he wanted. So for that, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised because we know how hard it is to negotiate with Daniel Levy and Tottenham, that we knew that City were going to go to a certain point and not higher, and that Spurs were going to try to go higher, and City didn't want to. So right. I think, you know what, my issue is that no one is happy. No one. Kane is not happy because he was clearly forced to say that's not where he wants to be. City are not happy because they didn't get the striker that they wanted, and now I'm not sure what they're going to do. And Spurs can't be happy either because he's going to get a year older next year. You're not sure what kind of mindset he's in now and for this season. Right. And he's lost some value if you, as someone, wants to sell him.
I got a couple things to say here. All right. First of all, I'll take the hits when I get things wrong. I said that Harry Kane had zero leverage to force a move. And I think we've seen that, right?
He tried.
He did a rubbish job of trying. And I think there's some serious questions to be asked. The mindset, you know, this is the England captain turning his back on the team. Whatever. Now he's still there. Yep. That said, I think for that kind of money, given the age, you know how I am, how conservative I am with ages and money, you sell him. And I think it would have been a stupid move for Manchester City. Although, as we get to see later,
said that. Yeah.
Maybe Manchester City or Pep Guardiola thinking more short term now. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
That said, you score goals, things get forgiven pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right?
We see, exactly.
And I think that's the reality of it. He could have been Sol Campbell Judas part two. In the end, Kane comes back.
Yeah.
At least he didn't join Arsenal. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And now that he's staying, Gab, a number of English media are reporting that he could even get a new deal, an extension worth 5 million more every year. I think he would get on to 400,000 a week or something like that. Does that make sense to now extend him?
Okay.
He's got 3 years left on his contract, by the way.
This, I don't know if this story was planted personally by his brother, Charlie Kane. I don't know whose idea this is. Honestly, 1,000,000%. You don't give him a penny more after what he's done. No, you got 3 years?
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, look, Harry, let's find out if you can play again, okay?
Yeah.
Give me a season, then you'll have 2 years left, and then we'll see. Because I'll tell you what, Harry Kane at 29, which is what he's going to be a year from now, with 2 years left, is going to have a lot less bargaining power. No, it doesn't work that way. You don't get a 30%.
Hey, but can I get a new deal?
Yeah. Come on, man. Come on. Seriously. Jules, I was always skeptical about the Kane move, from, as you know. But as I alluded to this earlier, maybe it was Pep thinking short term, because Mbappe would have been a year from now, Haaland would have been a year from now, because now we find out that maybe his time horizon is a bit shorter than we thought it was. Speaking at an XP event, he reportedly said he was looking to leave City when his contract expires in 2023. Mm-hmm. Are you surprised? What happens next?
I'm not really surprised. I'm a bit surprised of the timings of him saying it and the effect that, that will have on the club, on the team maybe, I don't know, on the fans. I'm not surprised because this is already the longest that he's ever been at a club, more than Barcelona, more than Bayern Munich, and he's still young and maybe he could have extended again the deal after 2023. And I've always said to you that that Guardiola was always going to think short term to go and win the Champions League, and if that meant bringing a 28-year-old for 150 million Harry Kane, he would do it more than, you know, the debate was, but why not wait for Haaland, who is 7 years younger, or Kylian, who is 6 years younger, blah blah blah. I don't think he thought like this, and clearly this is the proof. Then he would go and take a national team. This is also what he said yesterday. He wants to manage a World Cup, a Euros, a Copa America.
But maybe this is what you're seeing, right? Whatever he wants. Because we talk about City as if like Pep runs the place, right? And ultimately he doesn't, right? So Ferran Soriano is the guy who's the chief executive, who's responsible. Yes, he may also be Pep's countryman and whatever, but he's not going to join Pep managing whatever national team he goes and manages, right? He still has a job. He still has a reputation. I wonder if he's the one who doesn't say, okay, Pep, we can go this far with Kane. Beyond that, you may be all about the short term.
Yeah, but maybe
I have to think about the longer term well-being of this club, as does Khaldun Al-Mubarak and whatever else. And this stuff just doesn't make sense. In terms of 2023, who knows? I mean, it's a long way away, right? A lot of things can happen. He may decide he wants to stay longer. The club might go in a different direction. It gives him a lot of time to prepare. I think Chiki Begiristain's future might also be in doubt at that point.
Yeah, definitely. And now that Kane is not coming, Gab, there's still room for a big name goal scorer at City. And certainly they would be looking for someone else maybe. And there are many reports linking City with Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, that would be something. Not just because he's Cristiano, but because of Manchester United, because of his age, because of him and Pep. I'm not sure how compatible they are.
So Jorge Mendes is in Turin as we speak.
Yeah.
Officially, it was reported last night that he didn't have an appointment with Juventus, but I don't think it's difficult for him.
So he's going to Turin to go to his favorite restaurant?
Maybe he's visiting Andrea Belotti.
I don't know. Yeah.
But it's not difficult for Jorge to get an appointment in Turin with Juve. We've talked about the reality about Cristiano, about how Juve would expect to get at least their amortization back, which is going to be between 25 and 30 million euros. And obviously, he makes an enormous amount of money. Now, this is what was reported last night by Sky Italia, by Gianluca Di Marzio. And so I'm just going to relay that, and you make of it what you will. He said that Jorge Mendes had been negotiating with Manchester City about how much City would be willing to pay Ronaldo. Tell you what, it's not very much. He reported that it would be a two-year deal for about 15 million euros net, and that it would and they wouldn't be willing to pay a transfer fee.
Yeah.
So, first of all, from Juve's perspective, they've always said, no, there's got to be a transfer fee involved. I think there's wiggle room there.
Yeah. And maybe a player, maybe Bernardo Silva goes that way, and then...
Possibly, then you have an issue with his wages, right? And they say, yes, Bernardo Silva, Gabriel Jesus, who knows, right? But from Cristiano's standpoint, this makes no sense. And dare I say, it's even a little bit humiliating and insulting that this number would get out, because you're basically asking him to take a 50% pay cut. Yep. He would earn in 1 year, over 2 years at City, without any guarantees, what he would make in 1 year at Juve.
Yep.
At that point, you're saying, better off stay at Juve and see where I am in the summer.
Exactly. Where he would be a free agent again.
And he can choose where he wants to go. And if he has a good season like he had last year, I think there's going to be a fair amount of demand for him. Final point on the Paris Saint-Germain link, which is inevitably always there. I spoke to some people and is around there, and I don't think the door is closed to Paris Saint-Germain at all, if Mbappe moves.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Mbappe may not move. Who knows? And again, I would love that. Cristiano and Lionel Messi.
No.
And Neymar together. That'd be pretty good.
Definitely not.
Stick with Juve. Reports suggest they might be ready to sell Weston McKennie and bring in Axel Witsel. Jules, is this the Allegri effect? Bring in an old guy for a young guy?
Probably. I mean, I don't think it's that simple. I don't know if really the issue with McKennie is more off the field than on the field.
It's his behavior off the pitch.
Yeah, it seems like this is causing a few issues. And he's got a good value. He's got a good value compared to how much you've paid.
Yeah, but the amortization, you suspend bottom last year.
I know,
come on, man.
But I like Witsel. You know how much I like Witsel. I'm not sure how much
you don't need another guy that age.
I'm not sure you will gain.
Yeah.
Exactly. And from a current Dortmund midfielder to another one, our boy Thomas Delaney has moved to Sevilla, Gab, for around 6 million euros. This is another Monchi masterpiece, right? Because you know how reliable this player is, and Lopetegui and Sevilla are now joined up, 2 wins in 2. This could look good.
Yeah, they beat Getafe on Monday night. Oh, I'm totally on board with him. We like
Me
Thomas
too.
Delaney.
In we fact, love him.
Thomas, if you're listening, you have an invitation to
come back
and join us again on the Gavin Jaw Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We told you it would happen, and it has. The Premier League has issued a statement saying it won't release players for the upcoming international break if they face hotel quarantine restrictions of 10 days, which they do if they're coming from red list countries. Yep. La Liga and Serie A have followed suit. Jules, this affects many players in Africa, Asia, and especially South America. World Cup qualifiers are taking place in all those nations. Your thoughts?
Just, we knew this was coming, as you said, especially you, Gab. You've said it on and on and on. And there's a way of, obviously, of a solution, which is an exemption for those players. And I know everybody should be on the same level, whether you're a football player or not. But I think in those extreme cases, you could allow them and have maybe more testing when they just come back. I don't know, making it work somehow so that they can go and play for that country and come back and still not have to quarantine, be able to play for their clubs who pay their wages and who, in a way, would be losing out if they had to quarantine for 2 weeks and miss out on those games.
What bugs me here is, first of all, is people who are like, well, we pay the wages. Who cares about the international qualifiers, the rest of the world, blah, blah, blah. No, this is really important
it is,
for a lot
of
people in Africa, in Asia, and South America. It's really important.
Yeah.
They wrote the history of the game. And more importantly, Premier League clubs and Liga clubs and Serie A clubs, you signed up to this deal. You can't just say we're not going to do it or you will face consequences, and you should face consequences. Yeah. However, as I wrote in my column, there's an obvious way around this, which is the exemptions.
Exactly.
People say everybody should be treated equal. Well, you know what? There's already exemptions. There's already exemptions.
I know all sorts. Yeah.
People are traveling to South America and back without having to quarantine already, as we know. They gave an in the case of UK government, they gave an exemption 6 weeks ago during the Euros for players, for coaches, for dignitaries. You can do this, and you can do this safely.
They will bubble when they're over there.
I feel like they're going to do
they
it.
Will.
But I'll tell you what,
they
if
will.
They don't do it, 2030 World Cup bid, UK and Ireland.
You can forget.
Think about it.
Yeah, you can forget. Inter have completed their move for Juan Correa from Lazio. It's a loan with a 5 million fee for the first year and then an obligation to buy for 30. God, this is a good deal.
Yeah, I think it's the obligation to buy might be 25 million. So 25 plus 5, but whatever.
Or, you know, 30.
It's a good deal. It's case everybody's wondering, why are they doing these loans plus obligation to buy? It's accounting reasons. It's cash flow reasons. As you know, Inter are rather cash strapped still. Yeah, it's another option. What I like about Inter this year is I said before, they're not as good as last year, I don't think.
No.
But they have many more options and can be a lot more unpredictable. Correa fits into it. Correa's not a smurf, which I think also helps because they have enough little guys running around.
Yeah.
So why not?
I like it a lot.
Chelsea continue to beat the Jules Koundé drum.
This is the drum.
This is happening, right?
Well, I really thought it was, and so did Jules and Chelsea, because Zuma was moved to West Ham, was going to move to West Ham, and that was all agreed. The problem is that the West Ham Zuma Chelsea deal has fallen through. Who's zooming who? And then could that be an issue for Koundé? Maybe. I really hope for him that it works out. Gab, Milan keep pushing. They beat Sampdoria on Monday night in their opening game for Serie A. They're about to bring back Bakayoko on loan from Chelsea. They also linked with Jesus Corona and Junior Messias. And they have the Franck Kessier problem, though.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is what's happening. This is what European football is this year. Chelsea have to loan out 99 players, it feels like. And it's not just them. Loftus-Cheek, because all these dudes that you probably forgot about, but actually pretty good players. They're going to go for Bakayoko, I think. The Franck Kessier problem is that he is a year away from free agency, and he was so important to them. He's demanding, objectively, a lot of money. It'll be really interesting to see if they hold firm, or maybe he's another one who can join Mbappe and Pogba in Madrid next year, right?
Good idea.
I mean, they're going to need somebody to run around and do the defending, right?
Kessier
can do that with the best of them.
Definitely.
We were all shocked by events in Nice Sunday night and the pitch invasion and brawl between OGC Nice and Marseille. Developments?
So, stadium behind closed door for the next Nice game, of course. The member of Sampaoli staff, remember his fitness coach who punched the Nice fan, has been suspended, of course, and won't be involved this weekend either. And for the rest...
Suspended for how long?
We don't know yet because that's the thing. The thing is, now this is going to court, like as in a proper court, not just the discipline commission of the French League, etc. This is going to go much, much higher, much, much bigger as well. And we will know probably at the beginning of September. Also, the fan that went onto the pitch and tried to kick or actually kicked Dimitri Payet will also be has been charged and will appear in court. In September, 22nd of September, I think. So now they're moving it to the next level. And I guess rightly so. Yeah.
In terms of Payet and Guendouzi, especially Payet, who started it indirectly by throwing, obviously people throwing things at him and threw it back in the stands. But Cantona got a long ban for karate kicking. I mean, is he also potentially facing potentially, criminal charges?
Yes, potentially. Well, not, I don't think criminal, but certainly suspension and all of that. Jack Wilshere gave a long interview in The Athletic where he said that his biggest mistake was to leave Arsenal to go to West Ham, and also that one of his sons has said, why don't you go and play in MLS or La Liga? I bet you felt a bit sorry for him. We all love Jack.
It's funny. I did feel sorry for him when I saw that. When you're a kid, like you said, his youngest kids will realize that he was
cool,
a professional footballer.
People tease him.
Obviously, his injuries. The man has 34 caps. I think it shows you how quickly things can be,
He's 29.
The things you hold can crumble and run through your fingers like dust, as the wise man once said. Bizarre own goal sends Shakhtar past Monaco into the Champions League. Jules, this game was wild.
It was crazy, Gab, and Monaco has so many chances, so many to win and to go through, and yet in the end, the weirdest of own goal by Aguilar and...
My man Piatek.
They play in the European
League. Saving
the
bacon, De Zerbi.
Well done, De Zerbi. Meanwhile, despite playing an hour with 10 men, Benfica squeaks past PSV Eindhoven with a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, that's right. Lucas Veríssimo sent off for really two stupid fouls after having a really, really dumb foul. But you know what? As my wise Portuguese friend says, hey, when a Portuguese team plays a Dutch team, there's only one outcome. Shout out to the other teams who reached the Champions League via qualifying. They would be Young Boys Bern, which is an actual football team, not a collection of young boys. Salzburg, and my man, I was almost going to wear my Philadelphia Union shirt to represent Aronson. How about not bad? Malmo?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think something original to say about Malmo. That's what, Zlatan's old team?
Of course.
There you go. And of course, the new sheriff in town from Tiraspol. Jules, who you got? Who you like best?
RB Salzburg, all those kids, Umar Soleil, Kamara, Aronson.
No more Patson Daka, though. No more Soboslai.
They've got Adeyemi.
No more Jesse Marsh.
They've got Adeyemi. Don't worry. I think they will be good, and they're certainly very good to watch. It's a lot of fun. They play great football. So good luck to them. Sergi Busquets has agreed a pay cut with Barcelona, and Sergi Roberto is very close to doing so as well after Alba. And Gerard Piqué as well. All the captains and vice captains. Gab, what impact will this have? They can finally register.
Okay, a couple of things here. So first of all, I'm assuming they've already managed, since the league has actually started and they're playing in it, so they've managed to hit that cutoff.
Not for Aguero, he's the only one. But they don't need it, he's injured.
Think they need Aguero. Let Aguero remain a free agent for as long as he wants. No, let Aguero go back to Man City. Honestly, that wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe Aguero can move to Paris Saint-Germain.
Exactly, with his friend Messi.
When Mbappe moves to Real Madrid.
Oh my God, I love it.
You got that sorted, yeah?
I love it all.
Traveling supporters. And this is a story that passed me by because I will confess I am not a traveling supporter to watch qualifiers in the Europa League, Conference, and Champions League.
It's a shame.
It completely sort of passed me by. So basically what happened is they were banned from European competition qualifiers. Basically, UEFA asked clubs.
Yeah, I think that was a quick hit before, but you had forgotten.
I was on holiday before.
Oh, maybe you were on holiday. Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
UEFA asked clubs, don't sell the away allocation, right? Yeah. And obviously it was Celtic fans who pointed this out to me because they're the most affected. Now, UEFA are under pressure to allow them back for the group stages. They haven't made a decision yet.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I think they will. As we're seeing now fans in certain countries, we will see fans for the Brazil-Argentina game in the World Cup qualifier next month as well. I think you could see small capacity. I'm not saying full stadiums everywhere, but maybe for some there will be a bit more. But certainly on some countries where they were not allowed to fly. If they respect all the rules, maybe have had the vaccine already, doing a test before.
The local requirements are, I don't see the reason, especially because most of Europe is under Schengen. So they should be allowed to go and to do that. And the one thing I would point out is there should be reciprocity between the two clubs, right? So if I allow your guys in, you allow my guys into the return.
I think that would be the case too. Meanwhile, Rangers, Gab, have to travel to Armenia to play Alashkert without Steven Gerrard, their manager, who tested positive for COVID, like six of his first team players too. They're all in self-isolation. I guess we can ban travel, Gab, but the COVID also travels.
Yeah, I just want to say this too. I think there's like a weird, and I don't know how this game's going to go there. I think they're 1-0 down. Basically, the game kicks off in like a couple hours after we finish recording, so I'm not going to get into that. I just want to serve this as a reminder to all these people who say, oh, it's going to be a shambles. Like a friend, Mark Ogden, right? Oh, it's going to be a shambles, COVID, travel, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You're at far greater risk of getting COVID by staying in one place with no restrictions, like, say, the United Kingdom, where Steven Gerrard and these Rangers players live, than you are by traveling somewhere in a bubble and acting responsibly. I'm not suggesting they're acting irresponsibly, but I am suggesting that it's not like travel per se is what makes things dangerous.
Exactly.
So I just hope they get well and some sanity resumes here, because we live in a country with a very high infection rate.
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago that Atletico Madrid's Saúl Ñíguez had signed a 9-year contract and was seen as the next big thing. Now he's being offered all around Europe, linked to Liverpool, to Manchester United. Now the club said he's not for sale, but he's on the hook until 2026. Jules, I saw he was on the bench a lot last season, of course.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm not sure, but you're right. His agent has been in London, in the UK a lot. Chelsea, I think we can add to the list. And some of the deals that are being talked about, he's a loan. Why would Atletico Madrid loan him in the first place anyway?
Well, if he's on the hook, it's like an Odegaard situation, right? If they're on the hook for him for another 5 years after this, if he's not part of...
But sell him then. What, like, try to... unless they've tried to sell him and no one is ready to pay 40, 45, whatever.
I think it's that one. Right now, we're still in a COVID-conditioned market, right? If you send him on loan for a year to say, Arsenal, there you go, and he plays, has a good season, then it's an Odegaard situation. And, you know,
I like Saul a lot. I think he has, you know, his level has stagnated a little bit in the last 2 years, but I think there's a lot of potential there. If you're United, I'm not sure where he would fit in already, a midfield that has got a lot of bodies. Same if you're Chelsea.
So you don't think Saul can play as a defensive midfielder and do a better job than Matic and Fred and McTominay put together?
I don't think he's a holding midfielder in that sense, like Matic.
You don't think he can't play that role?
I think he's a more attacking
more
player
than
Matic. Yeah, definitely.
Earlier in his career...
I would love to see him in the Premier League. You know, don't get me wrong at all. So, hey, Saul, if you're watching, I hope you come, whatever you want, but I hope you come. Meanwhile, Lucas Torreira... he's back in Italy. He was on loan at Atleti last season, Gab, but he's moved from Arsenal on loan to Fiorentina. So going back to Serie A, where he had a really good season, of course. What was it, 3 years ago?
Sampdoria, yeah.
Yeah, to Sampdoria. Is it a good move? Are you happy with that for Fiorentina?
I think it's a great move. I think there's a great player in there who simply hasn't produced in the last couple of years for different reasons. I think he's got a manager at Fiorentina in Italiano who's really, really smart, really progressive. And if they play a more pass-oriented game, then I think it's going to work very well for Lucas Torreira. And it's good news for Arsenal because his wages aren't there.
Yeah.
Ooh, I can't resist another Arsenal question. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored a hat-trick in the League Cup against West Brom.
What?
Does it mean he'll start and all will be well this weekend?
Have Arsenal won a game? Arsenal actually won a game? They have won a game.
It's the League season? Cup. Does it count against the West Brom team? But
wow, I think he will start. I'm not sure if all is well, but they play City on Saturday. He will be there. Lacazette is also back and also scored, by the way, after coming on. And Saka scored his first goal. And Odegaard gave his first assist. He started too. So it's only better than what we saw against Brentford. But it was only West Brom. But not just West Brom, Gab. It was West Brom B team. So, hey, make of that what you want. Meanwhile, Willian is still at Arsenal somehow, but he's been strongly linked with a return back to Brazilian Corinthians on loan. I mean, on loan, not on loan, anything. I think they would drive him there.
He makes a huge salary. Very few teams can afford him. I go back to all those people who said, I told you this was going to happen.
I was trying to be more positive, but you did. You were right.
I think if he can reach a deal on loan, maybe a little bit of a pay cut, then at least he's in Brazil, he's visible, whatever. That thing that can help him with the national team well. Maybe that's important to him.
And you shift some of his wages, like you said. Some of it.
Every little helps, right?
Yeah, exactly. Some of it they won't pay.
Jules, I remember, and I think we had this great social video of this, the day you walked into the show, I think it was after the Champions League semifinal 2 years ago.
Atalanta.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's like the dramatic last-minute winner from Eric-Maxim Choupo-Moting. Now he's gone and scored four goals in Bayern's 12-0 German Cup win against some team from the fifth tier.
Bremen or something.
You must be delighted. And clearly this is evidence.
So happy for him.
It's time for Lewandowski to retire.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
We found the Lewandowski replacement, clearly. He also gave three assists, I think, including one to Bounassa, who actually scored a goal in his life. It was good. It was, I mean, towards the end, I was watching the highlights, and the referee sent off one of the Bremen's. I mean, come on. They're 10-0 down, 11 against 11, and yet you send him off?
Could it be
any more German?
Could it be any more German?
It's so German. It's so like, yeah, sorry.
It's also very German to score 12 goals when you don't need to.
Yeah, I know. You know, maybe at some point you could have said, hey, let's, you know.
But they don't do that.
Musiala had a great game. And, you know, let's see at the weekend if they can score 12 again in the Bundesliga this time. Plenty of reports suggesting that Mason Greenwood, Gab, will be called back into the England team after his really good start of the Premier League season. He hadn't been including since that game. Do you remember in Iceland where him and Phil Foden broke the COVID protocol and girls and all of that.
Met some girls on Instagram.
Yeah. And would you be happy if he came back?
As you know, I'm all aboard the Greenwood Express. I think he's a phenomenal player.
And second chance. He can have a second chance.
Of course. He's still very young. But I think he should be playing center forward. I don't understand this idea. Like, well, when he matures, we can move in the middle. But for now, let's play him out. Wait, what? Why? I don't need to see Martial up front for Manchester United.
No, come on. Behave.
Okay. I mean, whatever. But I think with England especially, because look, I don't know who England play or whatever, but obviously Harry Kane's brave England captain state of mind is all over the place. I don't know how much he likes Calvert-Lewin, given that when he was at the Euros, there were times when he wouldn't even include Calvert-Lewin, even though he's the only striker in the matchday squad. How about we give Mason Greenwood a run out?
I'm with you.
Also, I might add, Phil Foden was with Greenwood when all that happened.
Yeah.
Phil Foden gets allowed back in.
Yeah.
Right? He's young, whatever, another chance. Greenwood's got to wait for a chance. Yeah. I don't know.
It would be that.
Great player, and I think he's due a really good season
if
Solskjaer puts his trust in him.
Yeah.
Ligue 1 has signed a rights deal with Twitch, Jules. Please educate me as to why this is a big deal. I know what Twitch is.
Yeah.
How is this different from other streaming?
No, it's not. It's just that they're going to show the game live, and it's via Cosmos, the Gerard Piqué company, and it will be on the Twitch channel of Ibalianos, who's this big YouTuber, huge figure in Spain for esports and all of that. Big friend of Leo Messi, big friend of Gerard Piqué as well. I believe it's just for this game for now, for Messi's debut on Sunday.
But just one game?
One game. Telecinco, who also have bought the rights, so you'll be able to watch it on Twitch if you want. But also on normal television, if I can say.
Can I watch it in Twitch in United Kingdom?
Yeah, of course. I think so, yeah.
So it doesn't override their other deals?
I don't think there's that...
other rights holders?
Geolocation thing, no.
Should we not be telling people this? Because all the ESPN Plus people in the US... Oh, no, because he's no longer with La Liga, right?
No, he's not with La Liga anymore.
Okay,
so it's PSG debut. The only living Soloth in captivity, Gav, has moved on loan from Leipzig to Real Sociedad. Him and Isak up front, are you a fan?
I suspect he will be backing up Isak. I would hope so.
I don't know. You don't
know.
He's
a Soloth.
Two up front.
You know, but it is interesting. As the wildlife, the variety of wildlife in San Sebastian continues to increase. Right, that brings us to an end. What a show. We're going to be back on Monday after a full league program. Champions League draw, we'll have that out as well. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.